Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. We've got a big show today and a big one tomorrow as well. Same story on Friday. Today, Bob Flounders, PennLive.com, Patriot News. Mike Miller, Times Herald of Bloomington, Indiana. Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com. Tomorrow, our four high school football announcers. Plus, Doug Birdsong. Patrick Chambers joins us on Friday. Big shows coming up the rest of the week. Very pleased to have everybody on board. Pirates one-game playoff tonight as they take on the Cubs. If you are a star, you must perform like a star now. Memo to number 22 of the Pirates, Andrew McCutchen. I think you're one of the five best players in baseball. Tonight you have to play like it. You cannot do what you've done in your previous seven postseason games. No RBIs and one extra base hit. You gotta do better than that. You gotta be a reason why they win tonight. This is, you know, Kevin hates when I talk about money on the table. Guess what? That's the defining factor between good and great. Right? You can be Clayton Kershaw and blow through everybody in August and July. That's fine. It's October. I'm handing you the ball. Be the guy. Okay? That, I mean, it's the difference maker. Okay, the great players. Okay, look at some of the greatest players in Penn State football history. What do you remember about Kurt Warner? Do you remember a couple of kickoff returns he made, or do you remember the game against Georgia? Hey, what do you remember about Shane Conlon? All those great games he played, a block punt against Cincinnati? No, you remember the two interceptions in the Fiesta Bowl, don't you? I mean, that is what, I mean, great players are defined. I mean, Kajana Carter had a great career at Penn State. What do you remember? The 83-yard touchdown run against Oregon in the Rose Bowl. Okay? Greatness happens in the biggest of moments, the biggest of games. That's what defines it. There are very few Ernie Banks in life. Very few. Today, with all the postseason being played across the board, this is, I heard one time Mike Greenberg say, well, I don't want baseball to be like other sports where, you know, the regular season's diminished. But I'm sorry, but, you know, it's the postseason now. There are more postseason games than ever. What's made great players in the history of this game? Cal Ripken Jr. It's not just the streak, but, you know, in the World Series, he performed great. Curt Schilling. Not just with the Diamondbacks and the Red Sox, but go back to 93 with the Phillies. All you Philly fans, the way he pitched in the postseason that year in the World Series, the Bulldog, got the ball. Earl Hershiser in 88, Kirk Gibson, David Ortiz, Albert Pujols. Man, they're all great players. Why? Derek Jeter. And yes, every once in a while you get a Brian Doyle, you get a Bucky Dent, you get a Scott Brosius. But this is the defining time. Last night, Houston handed the ball to their ace. What did he do? On 3 days' rest, he pitched like an ace. Who's had a very checkered postseason career? Alex Rodriguez. Except for 2009, the rest of his postseason, very nondescript. Last night, first and second, two outs. Keuchel hitting spots all over the place all night. Spot, spot, spot. Missed one. Grooved it. Rodriguez flew out to center field. There's a lot of Pirate fans out there. You've known since the 4th of July you'd be playing tonight. You may have hoped that you would catch the Cardinals, but you know what? They never got within one game of the Cardinals. There was never any point in the second half of the season where the Pirates were a game out with a chance to take the lead. Right? Never. Cardinals weren't passed. In fact, they weren't even threatened to be passed. The Pirates never got within a game. So you've known since the 4th of July that probably on Wednesday, October 8th, you'd be playing tonight. And you are. You've got your ace, your 19-game winner, who's been really good. Against their 22-game winner, who's been really good. I like what the Pirates did with their roster very much. 9 pitchers, 16 position players. 2 starters, 7 relievers. You're like, why 2 starters? You have to have an emergency starter. Have to. Can't go into tonight's game with no other starting pitcher. What happens if, say, Cole, for example, twists an ankle in the bullpen warming up? Can't go. You have to have somebody else on the roster to start the game. That's Francisco Liriano. Meanwhile, the Cubs are going to go with 3 starters and 7 bullpen guys and 15 position players. And the Pirates did something very smart. Keon Broxton was put on the 25-man roster. Why? Because Clint Hurdle is smart enough to know that he may need to manufacture a run and he may need a pinch runner that has the kind of speed to swipe a base and then maybe somehow steal a run in this game. That's why. Very smart roster move. Now, you then, after tonight, the winner of this game gets to reset for the next round. So the next round changes up because tonight the Pirates playoff roster does not have A.J. Burnett. It does not have Charlie Morton. It does not have Jeff Locke. Right? It doesn't have any of those guys. It doesn't have Jay Happ. So tonight's roster doesn't have any of those guys on the team. None of them. Broxton was a smart move. At some point, he's going to be asked in this game, in my opinion, to pinch run and either steal a base or get you an extra base when you're trying to manufacture a run. And that's where the Pirates are better than the Cubs. They are better at manufacturing runs. It's not as if the Pirates don't have power. They've got power. We've got a lot of football talk coming up today, including Bob Flounders, PennLive.com, Patriot News, Mike Miller, Times Herald of Bloomington, Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Sunbury Motors Kia is a spooktacular sales event for a limited time only.
What does a spooky deal mean?
Really, really good and spooky.
Just stop. But yes, the deals at Sunbury Motors Kia are spooky good this month. But not because of Halloween. Kia has authorized us to provide employee pricing on all models this month. Plain and simple, you pay invoice minus all factory incentives on every model we have. That means the very best deals of the year from the dealer you already know to give you great deals year-round. Big savings on the 7-passenger Sereno SUV, the agile handling and first-class features of the Sportage, and the fuel-sipping Optima. Plus, with 0% financing available and a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty, these deals are scary good.
Now, that's the holiday spirit!
Owning a brand-new Kia is more affordable than ever at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
For our home team, a new Pirate generation. Every sign of the Pittsburgh Pride at the old ball game, everybody shout,
let's go, Pirates!
And welcome back to the Steve Jones Show.
Did you quit? I mean, I just don't, you know.
What?
I mean, it's like there's no bumper music.
Yeah, there was.
Where's the production value? No, it just ended. The commercial ended, and you're like, nothing.
No, I played Let's Go Bucks.
Oh, it sounded like a commercial. Those are the commercials we play around in State College. Seriously, that's a commercial.
Is it really?
College.
Oh, okay. Yes. Well, yeah. No, that's the Let's Go Bucks, new Pirate Generation song.
I thought you were playing a commercial. All right.
Well, that seriously, explains it. That, well, no.
That's the team's commercial. That's why I didn't think you were coming back.
Well, you know, I have seen that on Root Sports. Now that you mention it,
okay. You hate money on the table for whatever reason. You hate that.
It's not that I hate money on the table. It just makes it sound like at no other time does it matter.
Look, you got to win a lot of big games to get here. Okay, but guess what? Okay, let me put it this way: if you want to settle for Clayton Kershaw on your team, settle. Okay, I want Pedro Martinez and Curt Schilling. I want to finish the job. Okay, getting to this point is good. There is a certain point where you've got to win. Okay, this is it. You don't get many opportunities to win. I think the Pirates have a chance to get to the World Series by winning tonight.
I will say this, though.
While you hate money on the table, there is a reality. And the reality is this. I just mentioned in the history of Penn State football, what are the great moments? All the great moments are in the big games.
And that's what I was just going to say. That's the one thing I'll give you. You mentioned in the first segment, you mentioned big moments. You mentioned Kirk Gibson and all that. They're remembered for the big moments in the big games. No question about it. You're absolutely right there.
Right. But there are no Ernie Banks anymore, Kevin. You could sit there and you can go warm and fuzzy all you want on certain players, but guess what? So what?
Well,
okay. One of the reasons I have great respect for Chase Utley is that I think Chase Utley, when the postseason comes around, plays like a postseason guy, embraces it. Well, Roy Halladay. Roy Halladay is remembered. Okay, probably remembered for the perfect game, but guess what? He threw a no-hitter in the postseason against the Reds. Wow. That's big-time stuff. Far more memorable than that victory over the Cubs in July. Don't you think?
No, I think you're absolutely right on that.
Why is Cole Hamels revered in Philadelphia? Okay, he's revered in Philadelphia because he's the World Series MVP.
There's only one exception to that whole theory. And that's Dan Marino.
Yeah, Ernie Banks.
Well, no, I was going Dan Marino, but Ernie Banks is a good example as well. But you always hear, after you hear Dan Marino's stats and how great he was, and then you always hear, but he didn't get a chance to play in the big game.
Well, he did, and he lost. He played in Super Bowl 19, didn't win.
That's what you hear is, you know, he didn't play in the big game. What I meant is he didn't win the big game when I said he didn't play in the big game.
Well, exactly. And a lot of that has to do with the people around you. But when it comes to conversation on who's the greatest quarterback of all time, what names are mentioned? He always comes with the asterisk. Aaron Rodgers gets in the Super Bowl, plays great. Brady gets in the Super Bowl, plays great. Roethlisberger gets in the Super Bowl. Okay, wins the darn thing. He drives his team in the clutch down the field and beats Arizona. Okay, they picked the wrong MVP in that game. He was terrific in that game. And when everything was right there for the taking, what mistake did he make? Oh, none. He was the coolest cat on the field. Roethlisberger is revered in Pittsburgh because he won Super Bowls. Okay? Why aren't other quarterbacks revered in Pittsburgh outside of Roethlisberger and Terry Bradshaw? Why? Okay? Because guess what? They didn't win Super Bowls. Several of them got to playoff games. In fact, the Steelers certainly made a mark by going to the AFC Championship game repeatedly and not winning it during the Bettis era. Right? How come those quarterbacks aren't remembered forever? Dallas Cowboys. Don Meredith was a really good quarterback. Danny White was a really good quarterback. Okay? Guess who's revered in Dallas? Roger Staubach and Troy Aikman. Why? It means something, okay? It's the end of the road. You put too much credence on the regular season. Yes, you have to make big plays to get there. That's why you have MVP awards and things like that. But the next step in greatness is performing now. Okay? That is a defining line between good and great. That is a defining line for me between, if I have a choice between two guys going for the Hall of Fame and I can only pick one, I'm going to pick the one that actually has the postseason resume. Right? Because guess what? Guess what you're facing tonight that you may not face in July? Can you answer that?
What you face tonight that you won't face in July?
Elimination. What do you face in October that you don't face in July?
Elimination.
The best lineup and the best pitchers that are in the game every night. That's why they got to this point. Okay? You're not facing the Brewers tonight. You're not facing Arizona tonight. You're facing Jake Arrieta tonight. Meanwhile, if you're the Cubs, you're facing Gerrit Cole tonight. As you go through, these are the best teams. Okay? There's no three-game set against the Miami Marlins waiting as a coaster for you. See my point? You have to go through a grind now of really good teams to win. Best pitchers, best rotations. I mean, somebody may have a great player. The Marlins have Giancarlo Stanton. Okay, but guess what? Okay, tonight you got to face Rizzo. You got to face Bryant. You got to, you know, on the other side, they got to face McCutchen, Marte, guys like that. I mean, you're facing great. And if you win this series, you got the Cardinals. Okay, you don't have the coaster in there. Okay, there's your regular season right there. I mean, you got, they talk about Cole's record. He has 7 wins against the Cubs in his career. More than any other team. Okay. How many of those were really bad Cub teams? I mean, the Cubs weren't good until this year.
I was going to say, how many wins does he have this year against the Cubs would be a better question, because this is a better Cubs team.
I think he's got 2 of the 7 are this year. But that's my point. Okay. Game in and game out, you're facing the best. Why is Jeter revered? Hey, what do you remember about Jeter? Which regular season game sticks out to you? Which one? He played far more than in the postseason. So which regular season game did Jeter stuck out to you? Did the throw to get Giambi at home plate seem more important to you than that base hit he got in July? Maybe to you it is. It's just my opinion. I just think that's why. Okay, why are more eyeballs glued to tonight's set? And why is it concessions go down in the postseason? Every pitch has exponentially more meaning than that game in May. Okay. Yeah, I know the Pirates are coming up and saying, but let's go get a dog. No, not tonight. Tonight it's Pirates are coming up, scoreless, fourth inning. Lock in, everybody.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hubbell's Wharf. And Kevin's driving a beautiful Kia Soul this week.
2015 Kia Soul that has a lot of great features. Cool, air-cooled seats for summertime in the front. Heated seats for the winter.
Once again, we're back to your seat.
And the back seat is even heated for your back seat to keep it nice and toasty. You'll enjoy the leather interior. Oh, you know what I didn't mention, Steve? Heated steering wheel. Now,
Well, that's fine, as long as we're not talking about your seat again.
Leather steering wheel, leather-wrapped steering wheel that is heated. Keep your hands nice and toasty. You don't need to drive with gloves this winter. All-wheel drive will get you around without any trouble, and you can pile in five people and go to Beaver Stadium and tailgate this weekend in comfort with the leather interior, as well as plenty of room in the back to store all your tailgating festivities. You just pop that hatch wide open. You can even use that as a little cover from the rain or shade from the sun, whichever the case may be. And this particular Kia Soul this week has a panoramic sunroof. It is absolutely gorgeous. Check it out, Sunbury Motors, the Kia dealership on Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Don't you think you should be looking through the windshield?
Well, when it stopped at a traffic light or something, I just admire the beautiful sky shining down on me, brightly and warming me, both inside and out.
And with great relief, we bring in Bob Flounders from PennLive.com and the Patriot News. Bob, welcome. It's great to have you with us. How are you doing?
Steve, how are you doing today, man? How's it going up there?
Doing great. How about you?
You know, we're getting, I can't believe it, but we're getting close to the halfway point of the regular season. I know, it didn't start out well, but I mean, it's really kind of flown by. Interesting things have happened. People have stepped up. So yeah, it's been a pretty interesting team to cover just because of all the storylines.
A lot of storylines. What storyline, if you had to pick anywhere from one to three that really stand out to you, that draw your attention, that you want to write about?
Boy, I have to say, Steven, you could probably even speak to this a little bit better, than I can, but I mean, honestly, the talent that Saquon Barkley has when he's healthy, to me, I mean, I've been covering this team since 2002, and I know it's early in his career, and everyone wants to rush to judge him, but the ability that he's displayed as a true freshman, I mean, there just aren't too many backs that can do the things that he does, and for him to look kind of polished, you know, right out of the chute. I mean, he just seems like very natural in what he wants to do, not rushed, not afraid, not scared. To me, just watching him has really, really been fun for me.
Bob, what difference does he make in the overall offense? With all due respect to other running backs, what does he do for the offense, in your opinion, and for the offensive line?
Well, just because of his unique ability, it's this combination to me, Steve. I do think he's got very, very good speed. But he also has, I think, great vision. He can run through tackles. He can run around them. My favorite play, though, of his this year was that touchdown catch. That, to me, was one of the best catch and run touchdowns I've seen. I mean, what he did on that play, you know, I counted five or six guys that had a pretty good shot at him where he got in the end zone on that 22-yard touchdown. And I just don't know how many running backs I've seen that can do all the things that he does. And I think it just really makes life a lot easier on the play callers to call the game. And I think it also loosens some things up, you know, in the passing game if Penn State wants to throw. And I think, you know, you're talking about a Penn State offensive line where I just feel like there's not a lot of room for error for them just because of – yeah, a combination of things. I mean, this is not the 1994 offensive line. So with him back there, I mean, he can turn a 1-yard loss into a 4-yard gain, and it doesn't sound like a lot, but it really kind of changes the dynamic of the offense when he's on the field.
Bob, it seems on the surface it's the old formula. Field position, try to kick the ball well, play really good defense, be opportunistic offense. Is that what we're seeing, or are we seeing something else, in your opinion?
No, that's it. I mean, James Franklin has actually said that. I mean, they've gone from an offense, I think when he first got here, if you remember, it was really just about when they were on offense, Christian, you know, either in the shotgun or, you know, he was throwing it 35, 40 times consistently, good or bad, and they lived with that. Now, I mean, I think they want to manage the game a little bit better. I think they know what they have in Saquon Barkley. I think they also know they have a very good defense that will get better when they get healthy. And, you know, I think the idea is to eliminate empty plays or negative plays in the passing game. And I'm talking about sacks or holding penalties or just incompletions. And, you know, they don't, with the way this defense can play in most Big Ten games, if they can get to 24 points, 23 points, they're going to have a chance to win most games. And I think if they're going to throw it 45 times and only complete 25 passes, that's 20 plays they're kind of leaving on the field.
When you see some of the young talent having to contribute at this stage, what do you see big picture Penn State football when you see some of that young talent?
Well, I just think it's kind of the way of the world now, Steve, in college football. I don't get to watch a lot of college games, but I think 2 weeks ago, I got home from a Penn State game and USC was on a late night game and the announcers were talking about how USC is starting three true freshmen on their defensive line. With the way that kids are now training and the way the game is coached and with the camp, I think more than ever, they're much closer to being ready to play than they were 10, 15 years ago. It's not that big of an adjustment. And it also, when you see Penn State playing first and second year guys, it really tells me that they're recruiting well. I mean, I do believe Coach Franklin and his assistants when they said they wouldn't put a kid out on the field if they didn't think he could play or he could help. And you're starting to see that now, as he talked about on Tuesday, Steve. You know, five games into the season, you know, right out of the chute, you knew John Reed was going to be a good player when you saw him against Temple. But also in that game, you saw Manny Bowen play.
Right.
And he looked a little bit lost. He didn't look lost last week. He looked like a very good player that can help them on defense and on special teams. And once they have made the commitment to give Saquon, the ball, I mean, the more work he got, the better he got. So I think that this is going to be the way that it is at Penn State. I think for the next year or two until they can build up their reserves, I think that, you know, the more talented kids you get a chance to add to the program that can help you, I think you have to play them, and I think it sends a really good message to kids, you know, in future recruiting classes that, you know, we're not bringing here to stand around for 3 or 4 years so you can play, you know, as a fourth-year junior or a fifth-year senior.
Bell is a given at the one linebacker spot as to how he plays, a proven commodity. What have you thought, Bob, in watching Jason Kabinda make the move to the middle and then the insertion of Troy Reader?
I think huge positives, both of them. Jason Kabinda is really a pleasant surprise. When I first saw him last year, he almost looked like he was too big for his body. I think Jason might be 6'1", 6'2". I remember when they had the first official release of the roster, I think they had him at like 250 pounds, and I was like, man, this guy is gigantic. Just almost a little bit too big, especially, you know, the way that Penn State likes to play their linebackers. But I think he's in, not that he was ever in bad shape, I think he's lost a little bit of weight. He's obviously a very physical player. He actually has made some plays, in pass coverage, I think, that have been a pleasant surprise. And, you know, considering, you know, how questionable, you know, the situation was when Naeem went out, after the Temple, game, everyone was pretty worried, and with good reason, because I just don't think Gary Wooten was really the answer there. And that's a pretty nice transition, that Jason has made, and he's playing well. I still think they need some depth there. I also do like Troy Reader a lot. Very physical player, very good, I think, against the run. And I think that as he gets more experience, he's going to be a guy that's going to be tough to keep off the field. But you're right, Brandon Bell, when he's healthy, is clearly their most dynamic defender. And I think he's had a very, very good year when he's been on the field.
Everyone loves stories. Writers love stories. What kind of story to you is Carl Nassib?
It's an evolving story. It's a one of a kind story too, Steve. I mean, I don't think we're ever going to see a story like him, at Penn State, where you're talking about a guy that was, you know, even Bill O'Brien said it before James did, that he was under, I guess, 220 pounds when he came on campus, and just, Not necessarily an afterthought, but just a huge, huge project. And I remember seeing him first in very limited duty in 2013. That was back when Penn State really was looking for some answers. on the defensive line. You know, didn't really blow you away, but you kept noticing he kept getting bigger. And for me, the telltale sign that he was going to be a good player, it wasn't so much that James Franklin had really talked about his development and how proud he was and how effective he was going to be. But when you heard his teammates talk about, why he was a good player in practice specifically, Andrew Nelson talking about, every snap, just the violent way that he played. He had his hands full. He said that he hadn't actually gone up against a better defensive end than Carl. I mean, this is a guy, not only is he a smart guy, off the field, but you can just tell the intensity and the focus is there. And I think the mistake that a lot of people made with him is they assumed he wasn't a good athlete. And I was one of those people. That's not the case. He is all out athletic. He's got great size. And I think it's good that he brought him up, this week, Steve, because Indiana's offensive line, I think, is very good.
Yes.
And I think they have at least two players that are going to play in the league.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a challenge not only for the end because of, I believe his name is Jason Spriggs.
Yes.
But they have a guard that's very good.
Phoenix.
And I know Penn State's defensive tackles are good, but that's where I'm going to, those are the two matchups I want to watch. I want to watch Penn State's defensive line go against those guys because they're going to lose on some of those snaps.
Yeah, Dan Feeney's the guy you're talking about, the guard.
Right.
Hey, Bob, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Look forward to being on your podcast this week, too.
Steve, you got it. Always a pleasure.
Bob Flounders, PennLive.com, Patriot News. We'll come back with more in a moment. Still to come, Mike Miller from the Times-Herald in Bloomington, Indiana, and Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, one thing we did not get to because Bob Flounders interrupted the flow of this show with strong commentary and information.
Hate when that happens.
I'll be on Bob's podcast tomorrow, by the way. I'm looking forward to it. Bob's a great guy, great reporter. We didn't get to the Kevin Herr memo of the day. We still have, by the way, Adam Rittenberg to come and Mike Miller from the Bloomington Herald Times. Again, ruining the Kevin Herr memo today.
Yeah, no fun now.
Josh Johnson signed with Colts for another week. That means Luck may not go tomorrow night. Is this a perfect setup for the Texans? Also, is Mallett or Hoyer Bill O'Brien's quarterback?
In other words, a Bill O'Brien-style quarterback. I mean, it doesn't look like he has a quarterback right now. And you know him the way you do, figured you'd have some insight.
But he also taught both these guys. Both these guys were his backup quarterbacks at New England. So it's not like he doesn't know them. But the problem is neither Mallett nor Hoyer is a top-level quarterback. They're not even in that second tier. That's the problem. All right, check mark that one. That one's gone.
Done.
Okay. Astros beat Yankees soundly with good pitching. What have the Astros done to become a playoff team? Drafted well. Stayed within the system, made a couple of good trades. The Lance Berkman trade was a good trade for them. The Hunter Pence trade was a good trade for them. And they'll be able to stockpile young talent. They have very good pitching, and they also are a team that hits for power. They get big innings. And Altuve is just a really good player. And they're good defensively. And Back to the Future 2, which I never saw. The Cubs won the World Series in 2015. No, I don't have time for stuff like that. Won the World Series in 2015 in 5 games. In reality, are they able to win the series or even get past the Pirates? Well, they're in. Everybody has a chance. Except for the Yankees. Well, last year, both one-game playoff winners ended up in the World Series, so it's very possible. And in the history of baseball, 6 teams that have won a one-game playoff have won the World Series.
And by the way, that is true in the movie that they did win the World Series in 2015.
That's fabulous. They are a power team with 2 really good starting pitchers. A little shaky on the back end, and do not do a good job of manufacturing runs. That's their thumbnail. Philly.com's David Murphy wrote an article today about Chip Kelly's offense literally hurting his players. The Eagles had an offensive line that featured a guard who earned the game as a backup, a left tackle who earned the game as a backup guard, right tackle early again. Yeah, but I mean, you got to play with what you have. That's not really, no, that makes no sense to me, to be honest with you.
Well, I think his point was they've been getting hurt.
In the NFL, in the NFL, what is valued on the offensive line? Besides, obviously, top-level performance, what's the next part that's valued in the offensive line?
Big guys in the NFL. Block.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, like, beyond that. Versatility. You really have to have guys that have to play multiple positions. Because in the NFL, what do they carry? Seven linemen? Is that it? Seven? Maybe eight? That's all you carry. So you have to have guys that play multiple positions. So something tells me they were not put in the game in a spot that they have never practiced before. That could be in the category of thinking too much. You hate when I say that.
I don't think I've ever been accused of thinking too much.
I love your memo. We get through that usually about 6 minutes.
Tell me again why I put it together for you.
Because I think it's a very entertaining part of the show. It kind of shows your mindset.
You know what? But you have to read that article. I think there is a point to this offense being too fast for the guys that are there. I mean, you got guys that are 300 pounds with ankle sprains, knee MCL sprains, and still playing because that's all they have.
But again... Okay, now part of that could be coincidence, but again, haven't they been training for this in
you would think.
All the time? So what's the difference? The problem is, look, I mean, they're not in the field that long, for goodness sakes. The Eagles kept getting three and outs.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Okay, so that's very true.
Not exactly, you know, not exactly exhausting themselves.
Can't really argue with that, though. That's a good point. The defense may have a bigger argument.
Look, their mini camp, their training camp, and their practices are all supposed to be done at this pace, correct?
You would hope so, yes.
Okay. The entire point of playing this pace is what? We play at this pace, you can't keep up. That's supposed to be the point of it. The point of it is that you defensively don't play at this pace. You can't keep up. We will exhaust you, and we will make sure you're not in the right position to do anything because we're playing at this pace. Problem is their execution's so poor. Execution's the big part of it. They had some players that, you know, it's not a question of, like, his system or whatever, but he may have to rethink in some ways what he's doing to fit some of the players he has. You can't square peg and round hole things. Just because that's your system, and I don't care what your system is, hey, guess what builds a system? How does it fit around your players? And remember, he's been putting this team together. Allegedly, these players that he has all fits his system. This is year three for him, you know. This isn't year one where he's trying to kind of force... You know, like where it's Rodriguez when he went to Michigan the first year. He's trying to play the West Virginia system at Michigan and has Michigan players and doesn't have West Virginia players. All right? Well, that's not the case now in Philadelphia. It's the third year he's been there. Don't you think at this point, for the most part, he has his guys? I asked Tim Bream the other day, the Penn State trainer, how many guys are still left in the Bears from when he was there. Remember, this is Tim's fourth year at Penn State. He said there are four guys left.